state your name and title for me, and then we'll get rolling.
Sure.
When you're ready.
Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association.
Okay. All right. Thanks for doing this, Jeff. So 2024 is coming to a close. Harvest season's pretty much wrapped up or wrapping up. Just had some elections here as well. In your guys at the, here at the RFA, your viewpoint, how did 2024 go for renewable fuels, and what can we look forward to here in 2025?
Yeah, well, 2024 really turned out to be a good year for the industry. We're going to be very close to record production this year, probably somewhere around 16 billion gallons of ethanol. That'd be the second highest or potentially the highest level ever. Demand has been very strong, both domestically, but especially in the export market. We're expecting a record amount of ethanol exports this year, somewhere close to 2 billion gallons. So, you know, roughly 12% or so of the ethanol we're producing is being exported. And that's become a very important demand segment for the industry. You know, profitability has been good. Not great, but it's been good this year in the ethanol industry. As you mentioned, we've had a record corn crop, the third 15 billion bushel crop in the last 4 years. So feedstock availability has not been a challenge or an issue. So overall, things have been good this year. We are seeing continued expansion into higher level blends like E15, E85 demand remains strong. So it's overall been a good year for the industry.
And that's good to hear. Did I hear you right when you said 12% of ethanol produced is exported? Is that?
Yeah, somewhere kind of around 12 to 14%, somewhere in that range, which again, you go back 10, 12 years ago, the industry did not export any ethanol. It was purely consumed domestically. But over the last decade or so, we've seen dramatic growth in exports. We're sending ethanol all over the world. Our biggest export market right now is Canada. About a third of our exports are going to Canada. But we're sending product to places like India, South Korea, Vietnam, Japan, Mexico, you know, Colombia, Peru. We're sending product all over the world because those countries are recognizing the economic and environmental benefits of using U.S.-produced ethanol.
How's the prospect of expansion for ethanol and other biofuels exports? Looking pretty strong for U.S. exports of that?
It is. We expect to see continued growth in exports moving forward because you've got countries around the world that are adopting clean fuel programs, low carbon fuel programs, and they also want lower fuel costs for their consumers. So, you know, we look at a country like India, they're really interested in increasing their use of ethanol to help with their air quality problems. So we do expect to see continued growth, strong growth in export demand moving forward. There's a lot of opportunity out there in the international space, a lot of room for growth.
Let's talk about domestic ethanol and just how that's looking right now, maybe even starting from a farmer's perspective here. I guess to start, room for growth there, of course.
Absolutely.
As well. How's the outlook for that for the U.S. farmer and the corn industry, soy, all of
yep.
that? Any programs you'd like to highlight or that would help with that? Or just, how do you view that heading into 2025?
Yeah, well, domestic consumption has been solid. It's been strong, but it's been somewhat flat the last several years. So we're consuming about 14.2 billion gallons of ethanol here in the United States. Virtually all of the ethanol that we use here in the U.S. is used in 10% ethanol blends, E10. Virtually every gas station in the country is selling E10. Where we're really looking for growth is into E15 and higher level blends. That's the real opportunity to grow domestic demand. And we're seeing progress there, but it's slow because there are barriers that remain in place from a policy and regulatory standpoint that prevent retailers in much of the country from selling E15 in the summertime. And so we have a situation where you've got, you know, retail gas station owners saying, look, if I can't sell this fuel 365 days a year to my customer, I'm not sure I want to offer it at all. So we're trying to get that barrier removed, get that problem fixed once and for all, and we think that would really expand the use of E15, which of course is going to be an important demand driver for the farmer, right? For corn growers. We think the fastest way to boost corn demand is to really open the doors to E15 here in the U.S.
And this might not be a question you can answer. This might be a question for a politician, but why is that? Why is there a struggle to get E15? It's year-round E15, essentially, and how can we overcome that?
Well, in the past, the struggle has been because the oil companies didn't want to give up any more of their market share, but in recent years, we've begun to see some oil industry stakeholders actually supporting the allowance for E15 and working with us in that pursuit. So really what it boils down to now is we need legislation to fix this. There's support, bipartisan support for that legislation. But now there isn't much happening in Congress this past year, and now we're moving into a lame duck session. So really the trick now is finding a vehicle, finding an opportunity to move legislation. And we think if that opportunity presents itself, the support is going to be there to get it done.
Great. Speaking of policy and legislation, everything, Trump 2.0 presidency coming in here in January. How does that affect renewable fuels? And how do you see the Trump team, I guess, how do you see them sort of, sorry about that. Let me start over again. It's a good thing we don't do these live. So Trump 2.0 entering office in January here. How do you see their policies and what they're looking to promote affecting RFA and what you guys do in support?
Yeah, great question. And as we look at the new incoming Trump administration, and we look at what his priorities have been, it's America first. Energy production, it's energy dominance, it's energy security, it's reducing dependence on imports of energy from foreign countries. It's also lowering prices for consumers, right, and getting a grip on inflation, energy cost inflation. Those are all things that ethanol can help with. Those are all boxes that we can help check with renewable fuels. And so we're looking forward to working with the new EPA and the new Trump administration to underscore for them the role that ethanol can play in helping them achieve some of their objectives. Again, whether that is reducing dependence on foreign energy or whether that's lowering prices at the pump or whether that is supporting rural America and creating jobs across the farm economy, those are all things that the incoming Trump administration has said are important to them. They've said those things are priorities. They're priorities for us, so we see some real opportunity here.
Okay, great. Before I let you go, Jeff, anything else you'd like to highlight or share with us, point out anything? What's on your radar, I guess, now going into 2025?
Well, I think one other thing we're expecting from the Trump administration is a revisitation of the electric vehicle programs, policies that have been put in place by the Biden administration. The Biden administration effectively mandates the production of electric vehicles via their tailpipe emission standards. We think Trump 2.0 administration is going to pull those back and put in place standards that make a lot more sense for the U.S. economy, for the American consumer, and should help us out in the long run as well, because it's not forcing people to buy vehicles that don't use our products. So we're looking forward to working with the administration on that as well.
It's, I think a lot of people tend to think it's an all or nothing, one or the other, when in reality, the electric vehicles and renewable fuels, they can work together.
They absolutely can coexist, and they should coexist. But we shouldn't be forcing, or we shouldn't have policies that force one technology at the expense of others. If the goal of the policy is to reduce emissions, let's stay focused on that goal and then let the marketplace determine what mix makes the most sense to achieve those goals.
Makes sense to me, Jeff.
Common sense.
Yeah, right. Hey, well, hey, thanks for doing this. Appreciate your time and info. Enjoy the rest of the event.
All right. Thanks so much, Tyler.
Thank you.
Hey, that was great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, awesome. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Anytime.